We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now we got another expert, Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com. I mean, at least he's an expert in his own mind. I don't know if he's actually really an expert.
I was going to say, Bull, loose terminology these days.
Yeah, right. So, Chris, we've actually, like, for an hour, like, there's been... The fan base has been very fired up here. Like, I said some, I guess, controversial things. Half the fan base thinks I'm an idiot. Half the fan base thinks I'm completely right. There's probably a little of both in it. I mean, so let's hit on some of the things that have been talked about. First of all,
sure.
I'll admit, I have no sense of the NBA Hall of Fame. Like, I know it's not the NBA Hall of Fame. It's like, right. I get the Baseball Hall of Fame. I get it totally. Yeah. Football, I get it pretty good. Basketball, I have no clue. I don't know who. Like, obviously, I know LeBron and certain guys. But, like, to me, I look at Kevin Love and I say, he's a very good player, but Hall of Fame? I think of Hall of Fame as all-time greats. I don't think of him as that. Am I way off? Or is the NBA just easier to get in? Or what? What do you make of that?
Well, it's not just about the NBA.
Fair enough. Yeah,
when it
true.
Comes to Kevin, you have to think about his accomplishments with Team USA. You have to think about his accomplishments with UCLA, and I think, I don't know this for sure, but I think it also includes high school, where he was, you know, one of the best players in the entire country. I believe so.
That's so weird that they do that they don't have their own Hall of Fame, the NBA.
Yeah. But I think when you take everything into account when it comes to Kevin, including his national team accomplishments,
right?
I do believe he's a Hall of Famer. He's a champion. He's a five-time All-Star. He's an Olympic gold medalist. He helped revolutionize the power forward position in terms of being a floor spacing power forward and the number of threes that he's hit throughout his entire career at that position. All of those things, I think, combine to make him a Hall of Famer, yeah.
Okay. If it was just the NBA, would he be a Hall of Famer?
That's a tougher one. I still think so, yeah.
Okay. I feel like he's Kenny Lofton. Like, very good player.
Yeah.
Not a Hall of Famer. That's how I think of Kevin Love. But maybe that's not fair. I don't know. We'll see.
Like, I used to get in debates all the time with people about Chris Bosh. And I was like, wait a minute, you're kidding me? You're telling me that he's not a Hall of Famer? And I kind of feel the same way about Kevin. Like, we're so far removed from Kevin's best that maybe it's easier to forget just how good he was early in his career. Now, it didn't translate to wins, and there are a number of things that go into winning and losing in the NBA. But at his best, at his peak, he was a dominant power forward. He's one of the better players in the game.
All right. Next thing on Kevin Love, I said it was a horrible contract at the time. I still think it's a horrible contract. Have I been vindicated on that?
Yeah, I still don't think so. I mean, it's a horrible contract now.
Yeah.
But it was a logical decision at the time that they made
it. Why? Like, they were never going to be competitive then.
Right, but like... not everything is about end result, to me, anyway.
Okay.
When you're talking about a rebuild, I think so much of it is about process. And people hate that I continue to bring this up. But I said the same thing, Bull, about the Browns when they were going through their entire rebuild. And I think there was inherent value that Kevin brought to the organization that went beyond the basketball court. I think the fact that you had him here took pressure off of Colin Sexton, right? I think the fact that you had him here allowed these guys to see what it looks like from a five-time All-Star, to see what it looks like from an NBA champion. And you can quantify that, I think, any way you want to. But when Kevin was on the court for those first couple of years of his contract, he he was an impactful player for the Cavs. They were a better team with him on the court, offensively and defensively. And I think having him here and allowing the Cavs at times to be a little bit more competitive because of him allowed these younger players to get into some competitive games, get that kind of experience, and all those different things that don't always show up in a win-loss record. You can't just have a roster full of kids with nobody to show them the way. You
okay.
Can't.
All right, number three. I said, and I thought this was a no-brainer, but a couple people called to argue with me on this, that Kyrie Irving, after 3 years, was definitely a better player than Colin Sexton. Am I wrong?
Oh, I think he was.
Right? I mean, I didn't think that was debatable, really, but some people were debating me on that.
Yeah, I think he was. I think it's hard right now when it comes to Colin Sexton because stats across the NBA are up.
Yeah.
Just in general, with everybody, basically. So I think you kind of have to factor that in as well. And I don't know the right formula to do that. I'm not a mathematician, but I'm sure there's somebody a lot smarter than me that can figure out the inflation attached to it. In saying that, like, I think Colin has more than lived up to the 8th overall pick in the 2018 draft. I think he's a very good piece for the Cavs moving forward. I don't think he's somebody that you can build this franchise around. I don't think they believe they can build this franchise around him. I don't think they have delusions that they can build the franchise around him. In saying that, like, the fact that they were able to get him with the 8th pick and the fact that he's already on this kind of trajectory in year 3 is a testament, I think, one, to the front office, but also to Colin Sexton and his numbers bowl. Again, numbers are what they are. But his numbers are either right there in line or better with Bradley Beal at the same age, Donovan Mitchell at the same age, and Jamal Murray at the same age. And I don't think we can lose sight of that because the Cavs aren't a great basketball team.
Is, you know, when you look at Kobe, it's clearly a mixed bag. My argument is he didn't get enough for Kyrie. He didn't get anything for Tristan Thompson. They sat Andre Drummond for a month. I know they weren't going to get much, but they did nothing with Andre Drummond. To me, those were all big mistakes. How do you defend them?
But define big.
Well, the Kyrie, couldn't they have gotten more for Kyrie than the 8th pick?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. There were a lot of rumblings about maybe a package with Milwaukee Bucks. I think they did well in that Kyrie trade. I honestly do. Like, if you trace it and you look at the other assets and what they turned into, like Jared Allen, Taurean Prince, Colin Sexton, Larry Nance Jr., it's not just what it was on the surface, right? It's not just the 8th overall pick from the Boston Celtics or the Brooklyn Nets that turned in to the 8th overall pick in Colin Sexton. It's not just Ante Zizic. It's not just Jay Crowder, Isaiah Thomas. It's what those other components of that deal also turned into for the Cavs. Because trading in the NBA, trading in Major League Baseball, trading in the NFL is a game of chess. It's not always about the move itself. It's about the ensuing moves that come from it. So I thought they did well in the Kyrie trade. I think that's proven itself.
You don't think they could have gotten a star player in return?
No, I don't. I mean, I think at the time, you have to remember, you had Kyrie threatening knee surgery.
Right.
If he was going to continue to be here, you know, everybody around the NBA knew that he was available. And at the time, the Brooklyn Nets pick, the quote-unquote Brooklyn pick, was one of the most coveted assets in the entire NBA. And there were people that did not believe the Boston Celtics were going to give that up. And the Cavs got that. And the only reason it was the 8th pick is because Spencer Dinwiddie and the Brooklyn Nets had like a week to remember where they just went on this run that nobody expected that pushed that pick further and further down the line. But you had no clue what that pick was going to be. You were acquiring an asset that a lot of people around the NBA thought was extremely valuable, including the Cavs.
What about what they have not gotten you know, Kevin Porter Jr., Tristan Thompson, Andre Drummond. I mean, no mistakes there?
Of course mistakes. Absolutely. Yeah. And not everything that this front office does is right. And I've said that. They've made mistakes. There's no doubt about it. But I think if we're evaluating it properly, it has to be the way that we're doing it right now, Bull, the way that you're doing it. It has to be the individual moves independent from end result. And you're right, not getting something for J.R. Smith. You know, they kept telling everybody that they were going to get something for J.R. Smith, and they didn't. They didn't get anything for Tristan Thompson. And here today on trade deadline day, they didn't get anything for Andre Drummond, and a buyout was considered the last resort about a month and a half ago. So, yeah, those are misses by this front office. There's no doubt about it. But the only one that you can look at, I think, Bull, and say that's a significant setback in terms of their future plan is the Kevin Porter Jr. one. That's the one that sets this rebuild back.
Yeah.
You know, missing out on Tristan Thompson trade or Andre Drummond trade, like that doesn't set the franchise back. That's just like a move that you're upset about in the moment because you're emotional and you
to be fair, Chris, we don't know that. Like, if you're going to extrapolate and go, well, that trade led to Larry Nance Jr. and this guy and that guy, we could say the same thing here. They might have gotten a second-round pick, and they might have traded that second-round pick with another second-round pick to get a higher second-round pick, and that guy could have turned out to be a good player. We'll never know what it could have turned into down the line.
Right. I think that is fair.
Yeah.
But Andre Drummond wasn't going to bring you back a big package regardless.
No, definitely not. But they should have gotten something. If they had I don't know. Yeah.
And here's the thing, Bull, and I was talking to somebody about this today. Like, from everything that I was told, you know, the offers that were there potentially for the Cavs would have required them taking back bad contracts. Bad contracts that would have limited their financial flexibility, not just for the remainder of the season, but years into the future. And for a team that's rebuilding, you have to have that financial flexibility. So I think there were moves that they probably could have made. I don't think they would have been great moves. I don't think it would have made the fan base happy. And I don't think it was something that the Cavs wanted to get themselves into with that kind of bad money.
All right, last thing, Isaiah Hartenstein. It's Stein, right? Not Steen, right? Is that right?
I have no idea.
Oh, you know, so he look, even you don't know who he is. All right, so he's a nothing player, right? It's just a total
he's lottery ticket. He's a 22-year-old developmental big that is going to give them minutes at backup center that they needed if they were going to trade JaVale McGee and lose Andre Drummond.
Fair enough, Chris. Good stuff, man. Are you going out to L.A.?
Yeah, man, I'm got a flight in about 2-3 hours, something
have
like that.
Have fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun getting into L.A. at like 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, that sucks. All right, man. I'll talk to you soon. Good job.
All right. See you, bud.